This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I'm Andy Otherkin with Gotten Arena. Those of you listening as in podcast form, as Place to Be Nation Pop Experience, Pop Goes to Classics, welcome. Tonight, whenever you're listening to this, I am watching from 2015, The Good Dinosaur. To me, this is a necessary evil. Now, maybe my mind will get changed, but I love the Pixar films. You know, they're some of my favorite movies, and there's very few that I dislike. Or I'm not that high. Yes, there are some that I'm kind of was that necessary? You know, obviously some of the sequels to some of these, I don't think hit as well as it should. And there were some that didn't. Some seemed unnecessary. But this movie, based on the premise, I was very excited for. Because it's basically what would happen is, what if the asteroid that forever changed life on Earth missed the planet completely and giant dinosaurs never became extinct? So, I was hoping going in it would be kind of like the Jetsons and the Flintstones combined, you know, where it's modern and there's dinosaurs living amongst us, you know, similar to where the Jurassic World franchise has gone, but not in a, they just want to eat us kind of thing. It's they're living with us and they've been domesticated and they're just part of the world, right? The mass extinction event didn't happen. And because of a lot of kind of behind the scenes turmoil and some changes in creative directions, this movie is a hot mess. And maybe my mind will get changed somewhat during this viewing, because I honestly have only seen this all the way through once. I've watched bits and pieces of it here and there, but it's not a movie that I really ever look to revisit. I'm only doing it because it's part of the Pixar series I'm doing here, and I am going through all of them in order. And sometimes you got to go through some dark periods before you get to some really great ones, which kind of, you know, is where I'm at now. My next one after this, Cars 3, and then also in Finding Dory, I think are coming up very soon. That I'm not that high on those either. But then, you know, then I get to Coco. And then I get, you know, that, which is probably the best Pixar movie in the last 10 years, I want to say. Let's watch this together. And let's see if we can find some stuff in here. Because it's a very derivative film. It's a kind of a mess to me. So I want to kind of watch it and let's analyze it as we go. So watch it on Disney Plus as always. And we're going to hit that play button in 3, 2, 1. So we get the our opening Disney slate here. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think this movie got delayed several times. And I think the whole John Lasseter stuff was starting to come out at the time, if I can remember correctly, which kind of led to it. You know, here I'm looking up on IMDb. So experienced multiple production issues in production for 6 years, suffered from creative differences, story problems, Pixar multitasking between film productions, and a quality slump. The studio suffered from Cars 2 to Monster University. Bob Peterson, who was the director, was removed from the project in the summer of 2013, just under a year before the film's original release date. Then John Lasseter, Lee Unkrich, Mark Andrews, Pierre Son stepped in, temporarily work on various sections. That's kind of what happened was there were all these people working on sections and they kind of put it together. You know, Pixar ended up laying off 67 employees in November of 2013. There was a satellite studio, and we see that now. Here we go. We got the asteroid coming in, right? And we saw some Parasophiluses and some Apatosauruses. And what happens? Asteroid just flies right by. The dinosaurs are like, wait, what was that? What happened? And they just go back to being the dinosaurs, right? So we fast forward to millions of years later. And this is where we go. We got the Earth here. I mean, it's still a nicely animated film. I mean, look, this water scene, this is pretty cool here. You know. So, Peter Sohn, in October of 2014, was officially named a new director of this film. Story reworked, major changes, including lowering the age of the protagonist, adding the concept of nature itself being the main antagonist. John Lithgow remained cast as Papa in the film, and he would later be replaced. He acknowledged his fantastic change in the script, and the film's going to be better than you could ever imagine. So, we have some dinosaurs here, and Apatosaurus, I guess, I believe, which is the a smaller sauropod, and you know, it looks like it's working a farm here, right? Getting rid of some trees and going some fields here. They're kind of you know, workhorses, so to speak, and they're planting seeds. But it was a missed opportunity, this film, in my opinion. Like, a lot of missed opportunities here. I mean, because I gotta say, Disney Animation, you know, I know this is Pixar, but didn't have great luck with dinosaurs. I mean, you had that movie Dinosaur, which we should be up to very soon, if you haven't heard it yet, on the Apocalypse of Classic series there. Now, I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to remember if they weren't really humans, like, we weren't really civilized. So then we get some eggs hatching here. And they're quite different size eggs, though, too. Like, there's one, like, you know, I guess for the compared to the rest, are small. He's cute, though. I mean, Libby, that's the name of that one. Mm. I guess they're having three babies. I mean, I don't know. The sets are kind of photorealistic, like not that to that extent. Buck. So we got Libby and Buck here. And we got the last one. God, these kids are terrors off the bat here. One's getting sliding all over the place, and one is like hitting them. He just a little prickly bush, huh? I don't know. But these dinosaurs, I don't know about their design, if they're a little cartoonish. Look at this, a huge, huge egg. But then you get a wee little fella here. He looks like a little lizard. Kind of almost like Pascal from Tangled. And we got Arlo, who is our main antagonist. Look at this. He's like hanging out for dear life. He's like, but I don't want to come out of the egg, Dad. It's scary out there. Oh, boy. And, oof. Yeah, he's definitely got to grow into some parts of him here. Kind of out of balance. And he is tiny compared to his brother and sister here. Kind of fumbling over. I guess almost like when a horse is born for the first, you know, when it tries to take its first steps. Oh, his feet is a mind of their own. Claw tooth man. Family of Apatosauruses farming here. They look like they're pretty good at it. But again, I was hoping that it would be humans, and these, they would just be like if they were horses or cows. Libby and Buck now are having a bit of fun with each other. Hey, well, she's getting them to water all the corn, right? Damn, she messed with him. That was a good, Libby's pretty smart there. Arlo still hasn't had his growth spurt yet, so I'm guessing. So I kind of don't remember the voice cast here, so I'm gonna run through it. So, getting there. We got Jeffrey Wright as Papa. We got Frances McDormand, who I recognize that as Mama. And you got some child actors here who I've never heard of. And as they get older, Marcus Scribner is Buck. Raymond Ochoa is Arlo. Jack. And then we got, who's Libby? We don't get here. I don't see why. I can't remember unless something bad happens. Got a little birdie here. Were birds that big back then? Compared to a dinosaur? Really? Oh boy. That is a terrifyingly giant bird there. A prehistoric bird that is almost the same size as Arlo. You know, that's not saying much though, because Arlo is kind of a... Arlo's not very big. Henrietta. Hey, they're doing pretty good here. Nice collection. Well, what does marking mean, I guess, to dinosaurs? I guess they take a stick their foot in the mud here and they put their print on the outside here. Oh, that's kind of messed up right there. Oh. Ooh. I wonder how much they've aged here. Right? That's a nice message about making your mark and having to earn it. All right, that gives them some hope here. Look, I'm not going to say this is the worst movie ever created. I just, as somebody who has the bar as high for Pixar as it is for me, it just seemed like a real miss. And you could pretty much ask anybody. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that really likes this this movie. Well, Buck has earned his mark. You know, Buck's like the high school quarterback, I guess. Oh, Libby's, did her own field here, and she earned her mark. Now, all that's left is Arlo to earn his mark. Oh, jeez. Poor Arlo's getting terrified by these scary chickens here. You have a little hope in him. Still hasn't earned his mark yet, though. He gets a little determined. You can see that look on his face here. Uh-oh. He's facing these scary chickens. I think Buck is having a bit of fun here with Arlo. Arlo's quite gullible here. Oh man, that's messed up. Older brother pranking the younger brother. Oh, I don't know if they're how much. Damn. Ooh, that's messed up. That's some bullying right there. that's Buzz to Kevin in Home Alone level shit there, right? Just gotta believe in him, right? Mark is stupid. Mark is dumb. This is... I mean, it's not even a hot mess yet. We haven't gotten derivative yet. But we're going to get there soon enough. I mean... Are there other apatosauruses here? Apatosauri? I don't know. Here, like... I mean, this is some nice animation here, right? With the fog, the mist, I guess, so you speak, with the mountains in the background, going through the field. Oh boy. I'd be a little scared too if I was him, right? I mean, what kind of exposure have they had outside of the terror chickens here to other, you know, animal, creatures, animals, dinosaurs in this world, right? The way they shot it is the bug is really ginormous. Well, it probably is to us. Everything was ginormous back then. Ooh, a firefly. Yeah. Sometimes you got to see through your fear to get to beauty on the other side. Look at that. And Papa gets all these, like, fireflies coming out of the grass here. Makes for a cool visual, right? I think this is what's on the movie poster or the DVD Blu-ray cover, so you speak. But, yeah, it's like they're I know, obviously, these are dinosaurs, and if these things are on the ground, they're probably killing a whole bunch of bugs here, right? So it's not a good outcome, I think, for these bugs. Well, you know, unless they're that quick that they fly out and light up and fly out before these dinosaurs can do it. Yeah, just 1,000 of those things dead right there, right? I know this is being a little morbid, but I'm trying to stay positive, everybody. But it's going to be difficult here. Oh. Ooh. See, this is a, you know, a good dad move there. Uh-oh. Damn critters. Oh. It's a trap. Send a trap for the critter here. A little corn out there. I find it kind of amazing that they can do all this stuff without hands and arms and opposable thumbs, right? I think they... I don't know, for a dinosaur his size, though, take care of a critter that got in there, that thing's going to be almost the same size as him. And it almost seems like a snipe hunt, right? That maybe they're doing this to keep him out of the way. I don't know, is that, what's his face from Bug's Life? Dumb. But yeah, Arlo's sitting here, guarding stuff here. Uh-oh. I see he like, oh, I don't know if I want to see what's in that trap. He's like, do I have to go check it? I'm gonna go with your tree branch with spikes here. What is it? I found a critter. That's our first human. Of course now. Humans and dinosaurs never cross paths in real life. And it's kind of like reverse where the humans are the wild animals here. So this is Spot, voiced by Jack Bright. So Literally. It's like almost like a horror movie, the way he's caught. Kind of like going after you like a zombie would, right? Where it just wants to attack you and eat. I mean, Arlo, you are like how much bigger than this thing? And you're like scared from it. I don't know if you like try to let it free. Uh-oh. I think you're more afraid of him than you are of it. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Arlo done messed up. What's left my water in the other room? So, oh, that must be their little border fence here. Now we're getting into Lion King territory here. So, this is so damn derivative here. So the river's going up. Now, I'm not sure if Apatosaurus can swim here, but we're starting to just miss hyenas and stampeding wildebeest. And we're going to fall into Simba Mufasa territory here. Papa and Arlo here. Of course, Arlo has to go and get hurt. Papa, Zeal's getting the best of you in here. Yeah. Arlo's got inner strength. Yeah, this is going to prove to be not the best way to do a lesson here. Uh-oh. War is rising a bit fast here. Uh-oh. Okay, here comes the raging water. So, instead of wildebeest, we have a raging river here. And look, he's even climbing up. And you just need, an evil brother to, throw him off and say, long live the king. But there we go. Boom. Derivation. Oh, and bye-bye, Papa. Swept away in the river just because he, was teaching his son a lesson. So the kid's going to grow up feeling guilty that he caused his father's death. Disney 101 right there, people. Yep. We're back at the family farm here. And Mama's trying to do the work of her and Papa. That's a lot to take on, right? Everybody's always asking more of Arlo. He's got to start pulling his weight a little bit better here, right? That's not his fault he's a runster leader. Still hasn't gotten his mark either. Yeah, this is not very efficient here. They need Flick's ingenuity here. Again, this is Bug's Life right here. So far we've gotten the Lion King, gotten Bug's Life, This, and for one kid, he certainly eats a lot of corn. Yeah. Now he's blaming the spot here. Oh no. Oh, and Arlo's in the river now. I understand though, they can't swim and they got long necks. So I don't know, what do we got? We got Ratatouille here, right? Because he's getting going down the water here in a different direction. I mean, it's gotta be scary. I mean, water drowning's gotta be one of the scariest ways to die, right? Panic and then oof, right into the rock. Knocks him out. And he's just lucky he floats the way he does. Or else he'd be deed. Yeah, I apologize if I'm overly negative, but I just bothers me the missed opportunity here, right? What a great premise for a story or a movie. You know, because that's one of those, like, what ifs. Like, you know, we have what ifs in, like, all kinds of, like, you know, wrestling. We talk about that, and we talk about what ifs in the world. But this is a big what if. Like, what if this never happened, right? Would we have evolved, or we would have the civilization we have today? I have no idea. I honestly don't. So Arlo wakes up somewhere. Who knows? Kind of like how Simba wakes up in the plains of Africa. And we meet Timon and Pumbaa now. Unfortunately, we don't have a Timon and Pumbaa in this movie, which probably could have helped. Yeah. Ugh, Arlo gets himself ashore. Ugh, on top of rocks. It looks like the Long Island Sound there. Like one of the worst places to go swimming, right? No idea where he is. I mean, I think we probably went pretty far. Because you don't recognize anything where he is. You know? Oh boy. We gotta try to make his way out of this valley. You know you can't climb right there. Ooh! Ooh, takes it on the chin right there. That's gotta hurt. That's gotta leave a mark. Oh my god. That's also gotta be scary because he is dead meat for predators. Right? And there's that thing, that boy, Spot. It's not in the Apatosaurus' nature, though, to kill, right? Like how he sits there. I don't know if he sits there, he's trying to, like, a monkey or a dog. He kicks dirt in his face and kind of just bounds off. I find that kind of, I know it's a cartoon, but kind of impossible for Arlo to have climbed up that wall. Oh boy. Is that a volcano up there? Kind of has like almost like a horse-like walk to him here. Again, though, the landscapes, I mean, it's fairly photorealistic. I mean, it's impressive animation. I don't know if it's, you know, how much of it is animation, how much of it is photo, maybe, or they replicated it into CG. But it really is some nice animation here. Too bad the story is terrible. Yeah, I don't think. See, right now, I don't think the dinosaurs are. And the background matches, though, the animation styles. It's a mishmash. Because they all look, this all part of it looks like, you know, kind of real. And then this part, they look cartoony. Right? Ugh. What do you step on? Some berries? Oh. What is that? It sees a whole tree of them. Huh? It can't be easy to get up there, right? If it's out of your range. I mean, it's kind of how the Brachiosaurus, you know, the first dinosaur we really see in Jurassic Park, right? How goes up into the tree to eat, goes on its hind legs. Uh-oh. Arlo is just a walking accident, right? Now he's got his foot stuck or his half his body stuck underneath this rock here. Again, dead meat for a predator. Like, I'm surprised he's made it as long as he has, and now he's stuck still, trying to dig his way out, right? Apologize for the wrapper. Just a little picking up here. What the hell is that sound? You're still stuck. No, wait. How to get his foot out? He sees these little footprints here. He's trying to follow the river. He'll get home. Oh, very colorful, iguana, whatever that is. It seems like they had like all these different, like I said earlier, like different teams working on this, but maybe they didn't talk, right? They didn't like get on the same page. There was no cohesive unit. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that this was released. I mean, if this was today, this would have been a tax write-off, right? Because I don't think they would have released this had they, you know, unless they had to at the time. Like now they can, you know, like what the hell Warner's or DC's doing with Batgirl and all that stuff. What is that thing? Kind of just sitting there. That, whatever that thing is. Oh boy, there's a whole bunch of them. Some big eyed. I don't know what they are, like shrews, chinchilla, I don't never know. Arlo's just like, I'm never winning their approval. I mean, his shelter is, it doesn't completely suck, I guess, right? Is that what we're trying to say here? Uh-oh. Something's coming along here. And it's Spot. What's he got in his mouth here? He kill like an iguana? The one we saw a little while ago? Oh no, it's still alive. He thinks he eats it, I guess. He's like, here. Ooh. Oh. He's like, ah, so much for that. Doesn't realize that, that Arlo's a herbivore. They are some big ass things. Big as. Ugh. Like, here, you could eat this thing, this giant beetle thing. It's bigger than him, and he took it down. He can't bite through the shell, though. I'm trying to show him what to do. Oh, my God. That thing is just... That thing is human-sized, right? Look at it. Oh! Ooh, he just took the head off it, like one bite. I don't think he meant to do that. Ugh. That would feed Timon and Pumbaa for a very long time. What a low cream fill kind. Again, that's the second time I refer to Timon and Pumbaa. Oh, look at that. What are those, grapes? I don't know. It's like, hey. It's like, wait a second. Oh, this must be some good berries, right? Arlo's like digging it. I mean, look, he wasn't trying to steal your corn, man. He's just hungry. He's like, that was good. I'm still gonna kill you. Oh, now. I thought he was doing a tug of war there. And again, if there's winter where they live, Apatosauruses are cold-blooded, right? So I don't know if they would even survive the winter. Unless I'm totally off in my my knowledge here about dinosaurs living in the cold areas, right? So I'm sure that they migrated. Right, there was some probably that were migratory. Is that the right word? Oh boy, that's got to be a scary height there for a bit of a tightrope there for Arlo. Uh oh, now he's gonna jump over an opening. Again, he's blaming him. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's trying to push him. And Arlo creates a bridge there. He's like, yep, I got it. And Arlo's kind of stuck now. Right? Because his teeth. Oh, he's like, hey. That'll motivate Arlo. Right? Again. The upper part of his body here. He almost stomps on the kid to get to the berries. Uh-oh. Ah, that's a big snake. Oof. 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 Arlo ends up on the ground there. It's a long way down. That is a ginormous snake with arms. The snake has arms and legs. I don't remember. Did they have them back then? I mean, look, this is not a nature documentary on prehistoric creatures, but still, I tell you, this spot is tough, man. Taking on this big ass slithering snake, a lizard, lizard snake, this licky. Uh oh, what is that? Uh-oh. What is that? Are those birds? Or that thing? What is talking? Wait a second. What is happening? Oh! It's like, it's a Spinoceratops or something like it, which is a relative of the Triceratops. Who's talking to him? Destructor. Dream Crusher. Unrealistic roles. I think this is the pet collector. It's voiced by Pierce Son, who's our friend Squishy. And Steve Zahn is Thunderclap, Clap, Mandy Fruin is Downpour, Stephen Clay Hunter is Cold Front. Oh boy. Hemorrhoid. Now he figures out his name is Spot. Debbie. That's pretty funny. Now you can definitely hear Squishy right there. That is a big crest or horn or whatever that is. That is a weird thing. Again, no, not quite sure what the meaning of that scene was, but the point. Kind of weird, though. Finds, what is that? A prairie dog kind of thing? He pushes it. That's got to take a hell of a breath there to do that. They're all like, I guess they're all like hanging out over there in that end. Ah. Whoa. That's a lot of prairie dogs. Sound like squeaky toys, I guess. Uh-oh. And you don't want to get surrounded by any of those things. They're like, oh, forget you. We're going back into our thing. See, I guess they can swim, but I guess they've never tried or had to swim. I guess maybe Papa still be alive if he knew how to swim or learn how to. Oh God, these leechy things! Is there anything that can't or won't try to kill you back then? Jeez. Or actually, it's supposed to be like almost like now, right? Like, they never really say, like, when this is happening. Maybe this is when... I know there are millions of years between the dinosaurs and the first humans. So maybe they didn't come far enough ahead, I guess, in time. Oh, God, he's eating something he might be allergic to. Ugh. And getting some reactions or getting a little high here. Little LSD, if you will. That's crimes against nature right there. Now they're a little hungover from whatever trip they went on. That's pretty funny. Oh boy. Some more birds here. A lot of birds in this prehistoric time here. Yeah, I guess that's another missed opportunity happened. Was, you know, if you think about, you know, what if the dinosaurs hadn't, you know, been gone extinct and living with humans or, you know, you would think it would be like modern times, not, you know, the the Bronze Age or the Ice Age, whatever age this is, right? Stone Age. So that's another place where they missed the mark here, was just setting it in the wrong time period. I mean, look, Spot is kind of endearing, a cute character. You know, you have him paired up on a journey, a hero's journey, if you will, so to speak, but, you know, they don't really understand each other, which has happened in so many other, you know, stories where they don't really, you know, aren't on the same page, and they come on the same page. You know, Spot's now, and Spot, Arlo's trying to realize about his family, starting to realize. I was trying to explain to Spot. He's finding bigger sticks for all of them. Just having it convenient. They all kind of look like dinosaurs, these sticks. That was your papa. Family. Ohana means family. I can't wait to watch that again. It's been a while since I've seen that one. That'd be part of the Disney pod coming soon to your ears. Now Spot's talking about his family. Ah. But what happened to Spot's family? Why is he alone? Or maybe what happened to Spot? Uh-oh. I guess that was his mom. And that was his dad. Well, he buries him. Looks like he's an orphan. He's been through loss as well. This is why he's out here all by himself. Trying to survive. You're stealing your corn. Yeah. So I've been through some loss too, man. I got you. I understand you. Of course you do, man. It's your dad. He was trying to, help you get over your fears when his untimely passing happens. You say he howled at the moon like a wolf? I guess that's what humans did, I guess, the time before we could really talk and communicate, I guess, the way we do now. And obviously, dinosaurs didn't talk. Again, some quite stunning, you know, scenery here with this animation. All curled up together, the two of them. He's got to have fleas or something. My dog does that too. There's all this stuff in his sleep. Of course, he wakes up. He's a little peckish, right? Like most of us are in the morning. Oh, nope. He's got to empty the old tank. He's like, don't look at me while I'm peeing. He goes further away to pee. He's like, I don't know if he has stage fright or whatever. But, oof. The wind's it's changed a bit. That is some powerful wind. Uh-oh. Yeah, he ain't stopping, man. He's a tough little bird, huh? Oof, there's some. Landing can be scary, especially for Arlo. Having some serious PTSD here and some flashbacks. They even gave the river like a sound, oh, like a monster. That really gonna mess him up. Make him run the other direction. Run, Arlo, run! The Forrest Gump impression there. Not an impression, but a reference, if you will. Again, now this is like the third or fourth time that Arlo has had something traumatic and gone to sleep or gotten knocked out. And we're going to find him somewhere. They keep going back to the well on this, in this movie. Now Arlo got all turned around, nowhere near the river, unless the river dried up. Or seeded. Wait, what's this? What is that what we call it? River seeds? Oh, then he's got some giant birds here. Or are they pterodactyls or pteranodons or whatever they are. Oh, we got Steve Zahn here. That's Thunderclap. That's right. These are the ones I was talking about earlier. I was confusing them with the other creatures. The storm, following the storm. A revelation. The storm provides thunderclap. What's in it for me? Oh, don't you know? So we got thunderclap, downpour, and cold front here. I think we're getting a little Pinocchio-esque here, right? Got Honest John here. And they save a critter. Oh, geez. And he just eats the critter. So... now they're like the hyenas, right? From, because they're scavengers, right? And he knows they're going to go after his friend, the human. Arlo's an accessory to a murder, I guess, here, right? Or like an evil version of the gargoyles in Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, Arlo's full of shit. I don't know if these are pteranodons, pterodactyls. I don't know how do you tell the difference between them We call it Jayella. Now he's going out here into some more flats. And then we got T-Rexes here. Oh, boy. And that's kind of scary. Oh, the T-Rexes go after the Pteranodons. Ooh. First time we're seeing them. Uh-oh. Arlo would barely be an amuse-bouche for them. That's Bubba. And Ramsey, voiced by Anna Paquin. And I think that's Ramsey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Wrestling T-Rexes. And we got Butch by the great Sam Elliott here. So they're like, cowboys, basically. Like, they're looking for a herd. So basically his dog here. Butch is just like, ain't having it here. But yeah, so I'm like trying to figure out what's happening here now. Because these are predators, right? Pachyrhinus is not. And, you know, I don't know how much they would eat them, but they found a bug. Uh-oh. Well, Spot might still do it here. Found the tracks there. Not a bad job, Spot. Uh-oh. Rustlers? So it's like they're cowboys, but they don't, they're their own horses, I guess. Still, again, kind of weird here. So now we're in a Western, right? I kind of don't understand what's happening here. Like, what'd they do to my beloved T-Rex, one of my favorite dinosaurs, right? And they're sneaking up on something. There's their herd. Damn, that's some big ass buffalo. What do you mean by rustlers? Those Pteranodon dactyls that they saw before? Big ass buffaloes there. What the hell did he just say? It basically put him out there as bait. Huh. Come on, kid, go ahead. I almost think of cars with a tractor tipping right now, too. Those are some big. Those are real creatures, too, those ancient buffalo. They were big from all the documentaries I've seen on prehistoric creatures, especially the warm-blooded mammals. Quite interesting, if you will. Oh, boy. Live bait. Uh-oh. What is that? Something's coming in the grass. Looks like the raptors from, they are raptors, looks like. There's three of them. Why are they always in threes? That's Purvis, Bubba. I think the other one was Nash before, actually, the other thing. So you got Lurline. So it looks like a rematch here from Jurassic Park. The T-Rexes and the Raptors here. And there we go. We got a stampede. So we're back in the Lion King here. So this is all that. So we got Carrie Paff as Lurline, whoever that is. She has a lot of voices for Pixar. There's some scary looking though. They look like mangy raptors, right? Like the coyotes in Barnyard. I don't know if you saw that animated film. It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like Uncle Deadly as Uncle Deadly the Muppet. And we got them trying to ride him, the two of them. If Uncle Deadly was an animated dinosaur, right? Ooh, where they got? They got the big guy down now. All right, Arlo, with the headbutt and the little tail hit. Oh, he knocked out his favorite teeth. Uh-oh. They're like, no, we're out. I'm good. Yo, you don't mess with T-Rexes, man. I don't care, you damn raptors. Oh, there's pretty on, ladies and gentlemen.
Very good.
It's a nice animation. But just a mess of a movie. What the? It's playing a bug like a harmonica. Now I've seen everything. Hey, he's panting. And he eats his harmonica. What the hell? That's weird. Huh. Oh, no. Sounds like that's gotta suck, huh? Oof, lost part of her tail there. Who dang done that? We get to find out how Butch got a scar now. That's a kind of a tall tale. Oh boy. Sounds like Butch had a tough time with some crocs here. Oh boy. That's good. Pretty profound about Mother Nature. Just got to get through it. Can't beat her. Can't whatever. So I guess he's in with his new herd here of T-Rexes. Yeah, it almost sounds like the Magnificent Seven. Or maybe even Bonanza, I don't know. Those are some big ass water buffalo. So I think this drags a bit here. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a very cohesive story. I know he's trying to get home a good portion of his time. But it just doesn't make sense to me. All right, his buddy the T-Rexes are going to see him off without having a juicy snack right there. I mean, I couldn't tell you what a Patasaurus tastes like. I can only imagine. Hopefully it's not gamey. But if we raise those for farming, like for meat, like we do cows, we wouldn't have that much of a hunger problem in this country, or this world at least, too. Because they feed a lot. Yeah. I low-key love that, running through a flock of birds, like, on the ground. I'm like, they look just too comfortable. All right, now they can go in the air. Again, some nice, you know, really good animation. It's just the story has sucked. And I don't think my mind is getting changed during this viewing. I can tell you that much. What about, you know, a little less than half an hour left in the movie? Again, very Lion King-esque. The way he's going through all the different terrains, I guess, and climates, so to speak, in this short jaunt. Send him up through the clouds. He's like, again. Whoa. That's some... It's pretty good throw there for him. This was his mountain. I don't know if the clouds are either that low or they're jumping that high. I try to check my suspension of disbelief, at the door quite often, but this one just I couldn't. Because it's kind of misleading. The whole tagline synopsis, misleading. Uh-oh. That can't be a good sound. Something howls back at you, right? When you're howling into the echo. Don't do that. Uh-oh. I don't know what is making that sound. What is that? Is that his own kind? Yeah, see, it's going to become very similar again to another movie. But that movie is on top of my head. I can't think right now. But, yeah. Of course, Arlo's going to be a little worried. They've grown quite fond of each other. And he's taking him to his other human, I guess, so to speak. Huh. Trying to build up the positives, are you there, Arlo? Of course it's going to rain, right? Right at the end here. And he's starting to have flashbacks again to his father's death. It's very traumatic, man. I don't know if I could get over something like that easily in this time period. What is happening here? Something's flying into their vicinity here. It's moving kind of fast. What is happening? It's like they're almost like sky sharks from the upside down sharks. Oh boy. Oh, they're back. Oh, it's those three. They don't give up. Looks like the vultures they're almost supposed to be. Now they have a circle attack going here. They just want Spot. Mm-hmm. Oh no. They got a Spot. And they're trying to dispose of them, and there's more than just the three from earlier. There's a good like five or six of them now. Yeah. Spot gonna be a nice lunchtime there. Ooh, of course Arlo knocked himself silly. And where's he going to wake up next, right? No, that ain't Papa. Is it? Is it Papa? Is that really Papa? If it was really Papa, he would have talked to you, wouldn't he? Wait, there's no footprints. So that means he's not real. Poor Arliss. Arlo, sorry. Kind of losing the shit here. It's like basically having like a vision or a dream. Papa always believed in you. Maybe his methods weren't always the best here. Oh, see, he hallucinated being trapped in a snare vine there. There you go, Arlo. Go save your friend, man. Hope you better hurry, man, because those things are hungry and they're not gonna hesitate to eat the boy, right? Oh, he's back to the river, I guess. The spy is trapped. And these, like evil pelicans kind of thing here. Oh, boy. Now they're all coming after him. He's only going to be able to hide there for so long, right? They just can't stop him. Ooh. Well, that's a bit of a good thing right there. Some provides you're about to get an ass beating. That's what you're about to get. Oh man, that's gotta hurt. Take a part of your wingspan there. Nice shot, Arlo. You really got to move. It's like the same, flood that killed your dad is coming towards you, buddy. It's like, I can't leave you. See, now we have falls here. Not like we've never seen this before, right? I mean, you have Shrek, the 4D experience movie, something like this. I mean, there are plenty of movies like this, though, where it's like, oh, he's going towards a cliff. And, oh, no, he's got to, you know, decide, what's he going to do? Is he going to save this boy? Is he going to do his career? I mean, who knows? He's trying again. They're trying. Got him right in the nick of time. I don't know. Is he going to survive that fall, though? Could be like one of those splat situations. Yeah, they did. And he saved Scout. That's kind of exhausting for them, right? Oh no. Did we lose him? Oh, I don't think so. Oh, we got a cough. We got a cough. He's okay. Or he's gonna be okay. Telling you. I would just call this a boy and his pet dinosaur. It's a much better name for this movie. Yeah, he's making his way up there. I think at one point this is where he first trained or learned from his dad how to do stuff. And there's a good portion. Uh-oh, what's the sound? Again, it's that same figure they saw earlier, right? Maybe it's part of somebody's tribe or clan. And they're not looking, or they recognize, or they smell the scent in the air. Of course you got to investigate it. We're getting the Jungle Book here. Basically, go be with your own kind stuff. Even though they've been on this journey together the whole time. It looks like a dad, mom, and two girls, I want to say. Kind of makes Arlo happy, though, because he truly cares about him. It's his friend, right? Oh, that's all he ever wanted. Some love and affection here. If you love something, get that free, right? Got the whole phrase in there. It's all right. Go grow up. Somebody says go throw up. I'm like, I forgot what. Yes. He's like, I want to go with you. He's like, no, man. This is where you belong. Hmm. very torn here. It's a tough choice. Draws that circle around it. This is your new family now, man. Aw, look at our tearful goodbye here. Yeah, of course. He didn't want to go, and he makes him go because this is what's best for him. And he comes back, and he gives him that last second hug, and then they go. You know, the first thing he does is gonna. If they had computers and stuff now, they'd be looking stuff up on them. All right, you already said your goodbyes. Just move on. I was like, now what? He's got to go home there, Arlo. I don't know how much bigger he got in the time he was away. But there's the fence. Doesn't really do a lot of good. And they're going to be like, where have you gone? We've had to do all your shares. Oh man, the field ain't looking too good here. Like, is that what I thought it is? Oh. Yeah. We got the reunion here, Mama and Arlo. Here come the other two. Do you think you're making his mark? He's certainly walking over there like he gets to. Mom just gave him that little nodding approval, so. Good job, Arlo. Put it up there with the rest of the family. I think he earned it, right? I mean, I guess there's a lot of worse ways to do it. That was Peter Son directed this. That's right. Who was the voice of Squishy? And that creature there. It's one of those things where you start off, you do little voices, you do some character directing, and you do shorts, and then you move up and you do direct features. Bob Peterson gets a credit here for original concept and development here. But again, it's a really missed opportunity. They could have had something really special here. And, you know, look, a lot of people worked really hard on this movie. A lot of talented people did. And I don't want to sit here and shit on all the people here. Just, I just think it was just really, there's our good our friend Sanjay there. This is just a misfire on people who are probably a lot better than this movie came out to, right? they should have really either ditched it all together or really started at scratch. I mean, come on, it worked with Toy Story 2, right? Where they had to really scratch the whole movie and start again. And I think that had you had, you know, either Bob Peterson sees it all the way from start to finish or Peter Sawn sees it from start to finish, it might have been something better. And I think it was a kind of like mismarketed too. They didn't say, you know, this is where we're going to take this place. Because to me, that doesn't really appeal to me. Like, is that something I really want to know or I want to see in a movie, is what happens if dinosaurs and, you know, warm-blooded creatures, you know, mix? That doesn't sound like, much to, I don't know, it doesn't sound like really anything that's that exciting or a place you can really get a lot out of, right? But you take the dinosaurs and you put it with now, and you do it like in like a not a cutesy way, but like domesticated, kind of like how it is with the Flintstones, but we just happen to be the time of the Jetsons, which we aren't really in the time of the Jetsons. And don't get me started on that. I've had arguments on what's more realistic, the Flintstones or the Jetsons. And I mean, literally 3-hour arguments in diners with friends of mine and just going back and forth. But you know, while the credits are rolling here, let's talk about what's going on over on Placement Nation and where else you can find me. So y'all know on Stream Lounge, I'm here pretty much every Wednesday. I alternate. Yes, I'm not as awake as I should be, but every other Wednesday I'm here doing Pixar. And as you can see by this movie, The Good Dinosaur, I'm making my way through in release order. And actually, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So that will roughly put me at 20, about 5 months or so. So if I keep up this pace, I should be done or caught up on Pixar by September or so. And what I'm going to do on these Wednesday nights here, I don't know yet. After that, if I'm going to go to the Disney catalog, even though I'm part of a podcast that does it, that hopefully will be out, starting to get out a little bit better monthly, because I think our record schedule is going to get a little more easier. And any other ones, I'll be doing Blockbuster Rewatch. Obviously, at the time of this recording, I will be 1 week away from starting my Star Wars saga. So going through the entire full-length feature films in theatrical release order. So I'll be here next week with Tim Slomka watching A New Hope, Episode 4 of Star Wars. And then all the podcasts you can find me on. Over on the PlayStation Wrestling Network, I have Who's Next, which is a monthly look at NXT. Myself and Logan Crosland, we co-host that show. It's nice. It's fun. Good time with Logan. And I get to talk about wrestling. I scratch that itch, if you will. And then over here on the PlayStation Pop Experience, I am part of the Video Jukebox Song of the Day. You can hear me 1 to 2 times a week, usually. That's every weekday morning, 8 a.m. A nice little start to your day, a nice little pod blast, if you will. What else do I have? I have Pop Goes the Classics Disney. That is our look at the Disney animated films. We're going in theatrical release order. That is a review pod, not a live watch pod. As of this recording, our next episode that we are recording of that is Tarzan. And then we will be in the year 2000. So we're getting through that one as well. I also have the Most Sensational Inspirational Celebration of Levitational podcast. Miranda and I are going to get back into the groove and start reviewing episodes of season 2 of The Muppet Show. And that should be coming to your way very soon. Hopefully Laughing Theater will be back. It's, you know, kind of hard to book sometimes, and as well as Pop Goes the Classic, not Pop Goes the Classic, Year in Pop, which is a show I love doing, but it's a lot of work. It's heavy pre-production for that show. So that's kind of why we've been on a very extended hiatus. Also, it's kind of changing in perma guests, I guess, has led to some challenges with scheduling. What else we got? Trails of the Lost Arcs, that it will be dropping hopefully as close to monthly as possible. Our next one, we are going to be looking at, I can't remember the name of the damn thing, but it's unusual. So look for that, dropping as close to monthly as possible. Cartoons of Our Youth, that will drop hopefully monthly as well. Myself and a guest, we talk about their favorite cartoon growing up. And then we live watch two episodes. What else do I have? Everything I do here, obviously, is released as pods. And it's a fun time. And make sure you go to placepination.com each and every day. We have all the pods are there. We have some really fun articles. Go to the Place to Be Facebook group. And join in the fun conversation. And check out everything going on at our sister feeds. That is the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network and the North-South Connection. So check all those out. All right. Well, thank you for joining me here on Stream Lounge. For those of you listening in platform, thank you for joining me here on Pop Goes the Classics. I am Andy Atherton, and I will check you out on the next one, which by my handy-dandy chart will be Finding Dory. So we head back under the sea, so to speak, with our friends at Pixar. All right. I'll see you soon. Take care.